we're diving deep today into the semiotics of this new populist identity.
Okay.
I think, you know, anyone listening is probably familiar, at least on a surface level, with the term populism.
Right.
But these days, it feels like there's something... something else going on, something a little bit more nuanced.
Yeah.
Maybe we need like a new vocabulary to even understand it.
I agree.
So to really unpack all this, we're looking at two sources today.
Okay.
The first is an academic paper about the role of shibboleths in alt-right populism.
Right.
And then the second is this this really interesting analysis of the semiotics of this new populist identity.
Right.
So
that's good.
Let's just jump right in.
Yeah.
One of the things that really caught my eye in that analysis piece was this example of a dinner in Manhattan that was attended by these, you know, young, affluent Republicans kind of celebrating a return to conservative values.
Right.
They saw themselves as this rising cultural force.
Interesting.
You know, actively rebranding conservatism.
Okay.
Is that something that you've also observed?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting example. It kind of highlights this idea of... you know, what some scholars call paradoxical populism, which is this phenomenon where you have people who benefit from elite status, who at the same time champion Evans, a movement that's usually associated with anti-establishment sentiment.
Right.
So it really challenges this traditional view of populism as like solely a working class movement.
Totally.
And it suggests that there are these, you know, deeper cultural anxieties and aspirations at play here.
Yeah.
And that maybe this reflects, you know, kind of a broader sense of cultural dysfunction.
Right. So this academic paper that we're looking at digs into this idea of, you know, coded language.
Right.
By exploring this concept of shibboleths, I found this part really, really fascinating.
Yeah.
Can you explain, maybe for people who aren't familiar,
sure.
what shibboleths are and how they function within these movements?
So a shibboleth is basically a word or phrase that is used to distinguish members of a particular group from outsiders. They're like a linguistic password. Okay. They signal this in-group belonging, and they often exclude those who don't understand the meaning or significance.
Right.
So in the context of this new populism that we're talking about, phrases like make America great again, or woke agenda, or cultural Marxism, these all function as shibboleths.
No.
They're signaling this allegiance to certain ideologies.
Yeah, and then there are newer ones too, like clown world or deep state.
Right, exactly.
Which I think carry this sense of irony and cynicism towards like whatever societal ills that they're, you know, railing against.
Yeah, they definitely highlight this evolving nature of shibboleths.
Okay.
You know, they often originate in specific online communities.
Right.
Gain traction as markers of shared understanding, and their meaning kind of evolves as they spread.
Yeah.
The line between irony and sincere belief can get really blurred.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking to those online communities, it seems like technology, particularly social media, has a pretty significant impact on how these shibboleths spread.
Absolutely.
How these ideologies spread.
Technology acts as like a catalyst in this whole process.
Okay.
The algorithms that are used by social media platforms often create these echo chambers where these coded languages and ideologies can really quickly circulate and solidify, you know, individuals with, you know, shared anxieties and frustrations. They can all connect in these spaces, amplify each other's beliefs, and potentially even radicalize.
Right. It's like this perfect storm.
Yeah. And I think this could be a major contributing factor to these escalating frictions between different groups in society.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we can't forget about the role of artificial intelligence, too.
Right.
I mean, I was reading about how AI-generated content can be used to spread propaganda so effectively these days.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's really concerning. AI can be used to refine and target messages to specific demographics, you know, tailoring shibboleths and narratives to exploit these existing anxieties and grievances.
It's scary how good it is.
It's really difficult to combat because it's designed to be persuasive and to blend in seamlessly with genuine human discourse.
It makes you wonder about the future.
Yeah, it raises serious questions.
Of information integrity.
Right.
The ability to even discern truth from falsehood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a real challenge.
So it's not all serious discussions happening in these online spaces, though.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of humor.
Yeah.
Particularly through memes.
Mm-hmm.
The repurposing of slogans. Yeah, I'm really curious how humor plays into all of this.
Well, I mean, humor, particularly in the form of, like, ironic memes and repurposed slogans
Right.
can be a really powerful tool.
Uh-huh.
It can be used to kind of subvert authority,
Okay.
expose hypocrisy,
Yeah.
and reshape narratives.
Okay.
Consider, for instance, the term clown world.
Right.
It started as a critique of like progressive policies,
uh-huh.
but it's evolved into this broader statement
yeah.
about like societal chaos and dysfunction.
Right.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
How something that starts as a joke
Right.
can actually evolve
Yeah.
into this sincere expression of belief.
Totally highlights that blurring of the lines
Right.
between performance
Yeah.
and conviction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes it challenging for those outside these groups
yeah.
to really understand what's going on.
The true meaning.
Yeah, the intent behind the language.
Yeah.
It's like a hidden language.
Because.
Yeah, constantly evolving and adapting.
So that's why
what?
Understanding the semiotics of these movements,
yeah.
the study of symbols and their meaning,
uh-huh.
is so crucial.
Absolutely.
It's not enough to just look at what's on the surface.
Right.
We need to analyze
yeah.
the deeper meaning making that's at play.
Exactly. We need to understand how these seemingly disparate elements, the language, the symbols,
mm-hmm.
the online communities, the technology,
yeah.
how they all come together
right.
to create this sense of shared identity and purpose.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's not just happening within the alt-right.
Right.
David Brooks,
uh-huh.
in his analysis, he argues that the term populism itself might not be enough
Interesting.
To describe what we're seeing.
Okay.
He suggests that we're actually witnessing this battle between factions of the educated class,
yeah.
each leveraging populist rhetoric to serve their competing visions of power.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That traditional understanding of populism
right.
as this working class revolt
yeah.
may no longer be sufficient.
Short
you
of
know,
home.
The rise of this paradoxical populism among affluent educated individuals
Right.
suggests that these movements are tapping into something
Yeah.
deeper
Yeah.
that transcends traditional socioeconomic divisions.
Like this whole new ball game.
It really is,
yeah.
it seems like. You know,
yeah.
going back to the shibboleths,
mm-hmm.
they're a key part of how these groups define themselves,
right.
reinforce their boundaries.
Yeah.
It's about creating this clear distinction between us and them.
Right.
Yeah. Shibboleths, whether
yeah.
they're, you know,
yeah.
words, phrases, or even the rejection of certain policies or ideas,
yeah.
they all act as these litmus tests for
right.
ideological purity.
Uh-huh.
They solidify group identity. They
yeah.
create this sense of belonging.
Right.
In a world that can feel increasingly fragmented and chaotic.
So technology isn't just accelerating the spread of these ideas.
Right.
It's also contributing to the fragmentation of those traditional political alignments.
Yeah, I think that's a really important observation. And I think a prime example of that is
okay.
the intergenerational conflicts that we're seeing within Gen Z.
Uh-huh.
You have this divide between
yeah.
tech-driven futurists and neo-traditionalists,
right.
which actually mirrors the split within populist movements themselves.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it suggests that the battle lines are being redrawn.
Yeah.
And that the old narratives of, you know, left versus right,
uh-huh.
may no longer fully capture
yeah.
the complexities of the current political landscape.
It's a pretty complex picture.
It is.
It seems like
yeah.
understanding the semiotics of these movements
right.
is becoming more and more important.
I agree.
If we want to navigate
yeah.
this shifting cultural and political landscape.
We really need to develop a critical eye for
yeah.
the language,
yeah.
the symbols, the
Lovely.
Online dynamics
yeah.
that are shaping these new populist identities.
Right.
Only by understanding these deeper forces
okay.
can we begin to address the underlying tensions,
the
anxieties that are fueling these movements,
right.
and hopefully, you know, engage in more meaningful dialogues,
oh,
work
yeah.
towards a more
okay.
cohesive and inclusive society.
Yeah, I think that's a goal we can all get behind.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right, well,
yeah.
this has been really illuminating so far.
It's been a good discussion.
But we've got a lot more ground to cover.
Right, we do.
So let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Sounds good. You know, it's really interesting how these groups are leveraging existing cultural trends and aesthetics
right.
to kind of construct their identity.
Totally. I was struck by that, too,
yeah.
in the analysis
uh-huh.
where it talks about, you know, the young Republicans at that Manhattan dinner,
right.
their attire
yeah.
being this, like, deliberate departure
right.
from the stereotypical image of,
yeah.
you know, older, more traditional conservatives.
Totally.
They're using fashion
uh-huh.
as a way to signal this break from the past
right.
and align themselves with this
yeah.
more modern, tech-savvy vision of conservatism.
It's a very subtle but effective way of signaling that shift in ideology.
Right.
It's essentially saying, we're not your parents' conservative.
Right.
Right. They're trying to create this new image that resonates with younger generations while still upholding certain core values.
Yeah.
So it's a form of rebellion,
okay,
but within a very specific framework.
And it seems like that rebranding extends to language as well.
Absolutely.
The analysis points out how words like freedom and sovereignty, traditionally associated with libertarian ideals, are being kind of appropriated and woven into these critiques of globalism and digital control.
This redefinition of language is a key tactic, I think, employed by these movements.
Yeah.
They take these existing terms, they strip them of their original context, and reassemble them into these new narratives that fit their agenda.
So it's this form of linguistic manipulation.
That is.
It's reshaping how people see the world and their place in it.
Yeah, it's almost like they're creating their own dictionary.
It's true.
You know, one that's specifically designed to serve the needs of their evolving ideology.
They're even reclaiming words that were once used to criticize them.
Exactly.
Like, for example, the term based, which was originally used to describe someone who was out of touch with reality. Has now become
like a badge of honor,
within these circles.
It's a fascinating example of how language can be so fluid, adaptable, taking on these new meanings as cultural contexts shift.
Right. So in this case, base now signifies authenticity, rejection of political correctness, willingness to challenge mainstream narratives.
It's a way of signaling that you're in the know, that you understand.
Yeah.
The unspoken rules of this particular subculture.
And that you're not afraid to be provocative.
Right.
To push the boundaries of what's considered acceptable discourse.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to the role of humor.
Yeah.
These movements seem to wield it.
They do.
Quite effectively.
Yeah, very effectively.
The analysis highlights how they use irony and satire to spread their message.
Yep.
And to bypass those traditional media gatekeepers.
Humor is a really powerful tool for subversion and critique.
Okay.
It allows them to make these controversial statements
yeah.
under the guise of entertainment.
Right.
And it helps to create this sense of camaraderie, shared understanding within the group.
Like they're all in on the joke?
Right. Exactly. They're all in on the joke.
So it's a way of normalizing these extreme views by making them seem
palatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even funny.
Right. And it's so effective at circumventing those traditional media outlets.
Yeah, their message spreads through memes, viral videos, often without any critical analysis or context.
It's like they become masters of what some call cultural hacking.
Exactly.
They're hijacking existing platforms, using them to spread their own ideology.
And they're also really adept at using these layered references inside jokes, which creates a sense of exclusivity, further strengthens group identity.
It's interesting how they're weaving technology into their worldview.
It is.
Not just using it as this tool.
Right.
For communication.
Uh-huh.
The analysis talks about, you know, subcultures like digital libertarians, crypto anarchists, AI accelerationists
who
are really pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
They are.
Of what's politically and technologically possible.
I think these groups represent kind of the fringes of this new populism.
Okay.
They're experimenting with new technologies, new ideologies, trying to create these alternative systems that operate outside of traditional structures.
So they share this sense of disillusionment.
They do.
With existing systems and institutions.
Right. And they see technology as a means of disrupting the status quo.
They seem to be driven by this desire for radical autonomy.
Yes.
Both individual and collective.
Absolutely.
They want to break free from what they perceive as the constraints of government.
Right.
Big institutions.
Yeah, whether it's in the realm of finance information,
yeah.
personal identity.
This pursuit of autonomy is a key theme.
It is.
Running through all these movements.
It's this rejection of centralized control.
Right.
So belief in the power of individuals to create their own destinies, often facilitated by technology.
But this desire for autonomy could be a double-edged sword.
It can.
While it could be this powerful force for innovation, individual empowerment, it can also lead to fragmentation, isolation, the erosion of social cohesion.
Exactly.
If everyone's retreating into these self-created worlds, how do we maintain a sense of
Right.
shared purpose and responsibility.
That's the challenge that we face as a society.
Yeah.
We need to find a way to balance
okay.
that desire for individual autonomy
Uh-huh.
with the need for collective action,
right.
shared values.
So it's this delicate balancing act.
Yeah, it's a very delicate balancing
act. Analysis suggests that we need to develop this kind of semiotic foresight, this ability to decode these evolving narratives,
right.
understand the underlying motivations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We need to become more adept at
right.
reading the signs, discerning between genuine critiques of power
okay.
and dangerous ideologies masquerading as counterculture.
So this requires...
Yeah, it requires a deeper understanding
okay.
of the language, the uh-huh. symbols, the online dynamics,
right.
the technological forces that yeah. are shaping these movements.
It's not an easy task.
It's not, but it is essential if we want to navigate
right.
this increasingly complex
yeah.
and fragmented landscape. I think it's safe to say we're witnessing a new kind of political identity emerging.
Okay.
One that's fluid, adaptable,
uh-huh.
and really intertwined with, you know, technology and online culture.
Yeah, it's like we're trying to understand a moving target.
Exactly.
The language, the symbols, the tactics, they're all evolving so quickly.
So rapidly, yeah. And that's why it's
yeah.
more important than ever okay. to develop that critical lens that allows us to
right.
see through the rhetoric,
yeah.
analyze those underlying motivations.
One of the key paradoxes I think we keep coming back to is this notion of elite populism.
Right.
How can a movement that claims to represent the common person
right.
be led by people
yeah.
who are themselves part of the elite?
It's a question that a lot of people are grappling with, but I think this analysis offers some interesting insights.
Okay. And
despite their privileged backgrounds, these leaders manage to position themselves as outsiders, as rebels, fighting against a system that they perceive as corrupt and rigged against ordinary people.
So they're playing both sides.
In a way, yes.
Benefiting from the system while at the same time critiquing it.
And their followers
right.
who come from diverse backgrounds,
yeah.
they seem to accept this
right.
paradoxical stance.
I guess they're tapping into
I think so.
This deep-seated sense of grievance and disillusionment. That goes beyond.
It transcends traditional class divides.
Yeah.
You know, people are feeling increasingly alienated from institutions, whether they're political, economic, or social.
And these populist leaders offer this simple,
often misleading narrative.
That explains it all.
Exactly. They provide a scapegoat, a common enemy to rally against.
And technology plays a role in that too, right?
Big role.
Amplifying these narratives.
Social media algorithms
create
these echo chambers where these ideas can circulate, reinforce themselves.
And it becomes hard to distinguish between legitimate critiques of power and dangerous ideologies.
The internet has become this breeding ground for misinformation and disinformation.
Right.
And as AI technology advances, it's going to become even more difficult to discern truth from falsehood.
We're already seeing how AI can be used to create this persuasive content.
That mimics human language and emotion.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
It is a little bit frightening.
So how do we navigate this increasingly complex and treacherous landscape?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, how do we distinguish between the legitimate concerns and manipulative propaganda?
I think we need to cultivate a healthy skepticism.
Okay.
We need to question the information we encounter. Okay. Verify sources, seek out diverse perspectives.
So we need to be aware.
Yeah, and we need to be aware of our own biases, how they might influence our interpretation of events.
The analysis suggests that one of the most effective ways to counter these narratives is through
open and honest dialogue, even when it's uncomfortable.
Even when it's hard.
Exactly. We need to be willing to engage with people who hold different viewpoints, listen to their concerns, try to understand where they're coming from.
It's not about agreeing.
It's not about agreeing. It's
right.
about creating that space for constructive conversation and mutual understanding.
That sounds like a tall order.
It is a tall order.
Especially in our current climate.
Especially now.
Of political polarization.
Yeah.
And online hostility.
It's definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think it's a challenge that we must embrace.
Okay.
If we want to prevent the further erosion of social trust and cohesion.
We need to rediscover.
We do.
The art of civil discourse.
Uh-huh.
Find ways to bridge those divides.
Absolutely.
That threaten to tear us apart.
I think this analysis we've been talking about today paints a pretty sobering picture.
It does.
Of the challenges we face. Mm-hmm. But I also think it offers a glimmer of hope.
Okay.
By understanding the semiotics of these new populist movements,
right.
decoding their language and symbols,
yeah.
we can start to develop more effective strategies
okay.
for countering that divisive rhetoric
right.
and building a more
okay.
inclusive and equitable society.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
It requires continuous learning,
mm-hmm.
critical thinking,
right.
commitment to open dialogue.
The future of our democracy may depend on it.
Well, thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
On this deep dive into the evolved and world of populism.
Yeah.
It's complex.
It
is. It's ever-changing.
Uh-huh.
But it definitely deserves our attention.
Yeah, it does.
So until next time.
Yeah.
Stay curious, stay engaged, and stay informed.
Absolutely.